I learned this from Karl Barth, a 20th century theologian who picks up on Luther's point and presses this question. Is religion really about our experience, really about what goes on in our hearts, or is it about God? Is it about us or is it about God? Really, Barth presses this point emphatically. And he's critiquing the theological liberalism that wants to base Christian faith on experience. And if I'm right about the way we get to know other persons, then Barth must be right about what religion is about. Religion is good news. The Christian religion claims to be good news because it's about Christ, not about us. That's a theme that goes all the way back to the first lecture, right? The gospel is not about our experience. It's about this guy, Jesus. That's why it's good news. It's not about us. It's good news for our experience because it's not about our experience. I think that's how it works. So that's where I stand on that. So I think the affinity between Protestantism and liberalism does a lot of harm to Protestantism, does a lot of harm to what Luther wants to get at. Whereas the affinity between Protestantism and Catholicism, I think, is absolutely essential. I am an ecumenical Protestant, that is, someone who thinks that Protestants and Catholics had better be talking with each other about the unity of the Church. So let me talk about that a little bit. A whole lot of how you assess Luther's legacy, obviously, depends on whether you think it was a good idea that you had this split in the Church in the 16th century. And as I've suggested before, the split is driven by Luther's decision that the Pope must be the Antichrist. And if you regret Luther's decision that the Jews speak for the devil, maybe you should regret Luther's decision that the Pope speaks for the Antichrist, the devil. This is not a good way of thinking about social life. My enemy is not just someone who's wrong, not just somebody who's mistaken, but speaks for the evil one. Ecumenically minded Protestants will often make the judgment that, look, we don't know whose fault it was that the Church split in the 16th century, but it was a bad thing. Maybe the abuses of the Catholic Church were so bad, maybe the enmity between the Pope and the Gospel was so bad that the split had to happen. Maybe the Protestants had no choice but to defend the Gospel by breaking off from the Pope. Maybe, in fact, they did have a choice and they shouldn't have broken off from the Pope. We can argue later historically about whose fault it is, but in any case, say most ecumenically minded Protestants, the split is not a good thing. Whoever's fault it is, it's a bad thing that the split happened. And that's why I have emphasized in previous lectures my view that both Catholics and Protestants lost something in that split. Catholics lost the explicit openness to self-criticism that's built into the Reformation notion that the Church should be constantly reforming itself, semper reformanda. So, for instance, the Catholic Church changes its mind about religious freedom. In Vatican II, the council there in the 1960s, the Catholic Church changes its mind and becomes one of the great advocates of religious freedom in the second half of the 20th century. But that's a change of mind, right? It would be nice if the Church could have recognized our previous position was one of opposition to religious freedom, and that was a mistake. That was wrong. Catholics can't quite explicitly admit that in a consistent way, consistent with Catholic theology. Whereas Protestants have the opposite problem. They have a hard time admitting that there's a real authority in the Christian tradition. They have a hard time admitting the authoritative aspect of the tradition. Although frequently, interestingly, Lutherans will quote Luther as an authority. He functions as an authority, even though he's not the Bible. Calvinists will quote Calvin as a kind of authority. And in a moderate sense, yes, they should be authorities. Not that they're the Bible, but you learn from Luther and Calvin, if you're a Lutheran or a Calvinist, how to read the Bible. They function authoritatively. My suggestion here in this philosophy of traditions that underlies my remarks is that a healthy intellectual tradition is rational. It's not just prejudice. It's rational because it is both authoritative and self-critical. A healthy intellectual tradition will be both authoritative and self-critical. It will regard its own past as having an authority, but not an unquestioned authority. It's an authority that can be thought critically about and should be thought critically about. Semper reformanda, right? Always be thinking critically about your own tradition. That's what makes a tradition rational. But also regard that tradition as authoritative. It's not just irrational prejudice. It's the precipitate, the result of careful thought and interpretation over many centuries.